So here's a proposition for you. Imagine a business model that generates $12.2 billion in total spending, more than a half billion in TV advertising alone, $300 million in merchandise, $185 million in corporate sponsorship. Nice chunk of cash, huh? Now imagine that business is based on the work of a few thousand unpaid college interns. Well, that's March Madness for you. It's been noted before. The madness in March Madness comes from this reliance by the NCAA, which gets much of the cash, on the unpaid athlete students on the college teams that participate in the NCAA tournament. Joe Nocera, op-ed columnist for our partner, the New York Times, joins us now. Welcome, Joe. And this has got you pretty, I wouldn't say steamed, but you really want to talk about this.
I've become obsessed. I acknowledge it. I believe the players should be paid. But you know, the economics of the NCAA, it's worth pointing out, John. They get no more money from football because the colleges won an antitrust suit back in the 1980s, giving themselves the rights to the money from football. So the vast, vast majority of what the NCAA makes for itself, for the own organization, comes in the space of 3 weeks. They will pocket $800 million.
You know, it's almost like, you know, this giant subsidy for the institution at large. The University of Texas struck oil on its campus, I remember, decades ago, and its endowment was based on that oil. Yet in this particular case, we're talking about actual human beings, workers, who have a chance to go to the NBA, but certainly not all of them.
A vast majority of them don't. And that's part of what's sad here. You know,
Oh, Joe, we're losing you. Joe Nocera, op-ed columnist for our partner, the New York Times. Something about the NCAA probably like yanked the phone right out of the wall there in his house. But anyway, March Madness, of course, is in full play right now. What are we at?
We're at the Sweet 16.
Yep.
That's right.
And it's been
2 weeks to go, a little less than 2 weeks to go.
And
I mean, I think the madness comes less from the funding part of it than it is how quickly it goes. I mean, it's really compact down into...
I mean, in business terms, it is completely insane that there's $12.2 billion in total spending that's based on these unpaid workers. I mean,
that is
mad.
That's what's one view?
Joe, so you don't think it's mad? You don't think they should be paid?
I don't think they should be paid.
Really?
You think they should be paid?
I don't, but...
Not at all?
Yeah, nothing. But I'm not the guest here. It's Joe Nocera that's the guest.
Well, no, that doesn't have anything to do with it. You can talk. Joe, did you throw your phone across the room?
When I heard him say that they shouldn't be paid, I absolutely did. They work 50-hour weeks. You know, the sport is vastly more important to the university than the scholastics. Most of the college basketball and football players don't graduate. They're fungible commodities that are tossed aside as soon as their eligibility is up. They're sometimes cut, and they lose their scholarship when the school, this especially happens in the SEC, when the school finds a better player. The notion that they're not employees is absurd. They are employees. They should be treated like employees.
Well, let's back off from the idea of them being paid for a second, since that's the most controversial. How else would you treat them like employees, give them protections in case they do get cut? What sort of things would you suggest?
Well, I'm a huge believer in the idea that they should have due process when they get in trouble with the NCAA. I think 90% of the NCAA rules should be eliminated. They are just ridiculous. Kid from Kansas State just this week was suspended from the NCAA game 20 minutes before it started because somebody sent him $200 because he was trying to send it to his mother so she could have put food on her table. I mean, that's the kind of absurd. The NCAA has rules that are completely above and beyond the university rules. The kids have no standing when they get in trouble. The whole thing is ridiculous. I also think there should be a six-year scholarship. I actually feel this very strongly. If you're not going to pay the players, let's ensure they get an education. And one of the ways to do that is to give them time to actually study and care about their classroom and work after their eligibility has expired.
So use the
NCAA. When they're not working 50 hours a week.
Yeah, so use the NCAA revenue as a subsidy, not simply for the operations of the NCAA, but actually for the education of the students themselves. So if they are cut, they still get to go anyway, and the NCAA is taking the risk.
I think that's absolutely right. But the universities don't want to do this because they say they can't afford it, and yet they can somehow afford a $4 million coach. It boggles the mind. And one of the reasons they spend all this money on everything else facilities. I mean, look at these stadiums that they play in, the practice facilities, and they switch uniforms halfway through the season, and the coaches make billions of dollars. Half the reason they spend the money on everything else is because they're not spending it on the players.
Well, let's talk about the behavior of the coaches, because many of the schools have been denied eligibility for scholarships and NCAA tournament participation because of violating these rules that you say should be thrown out the window anyway. Do you think essentially a legalization of paid players and an economic profile for these NCAA players would encourage better behavior on the part of these $4 million coaches?
I think it would. I think it would eliminate 90% of the problems. I think it would eliminate – if you could recruit a player based on paying them instead of sweet-talking them and having boosters giving them money on the table, under the table, wouldn't that be a better system?
Well, but if I'm a math student, I'm going like, oh, great, those guys play basketball and they're like employees of the university. I'm a schlub over here trying to pass advanced calculus and I don't get paid. In fact, I'm paying them.
Well, actually, in many cases, you do get paid. If you're a math student, if you're a math whiz who's been heavily recruited by a bunch of universities, somebody is giving you some subsidy to come to that school.
Well, you can't call a scholarship, Joe?
Well,
there's a difference.
If you're a graduate student, they do pay you, and you're expected to teach a course or two.
Well, yeah, you have to work for it.
Guess what basketball players do? They work for it.
Yeah.
They are revenue generators for the university in a way that a math student never will be.
Joe, does this go beyond basketball in the NCAA?
Does this go beyond what?
Basketball.
I would say college football. This is the distinction I would make, Celeste and John. Every other sport on the university is really integrated as part of the university. Whereas college football and men's basketball is a carve-out. It's a really different thing. They are giant revenue generators for the university, and the players are treated different. The rules are different. Everything about them is different, and they should be treated differently.
All right. Joe Nocera, op-ed columnist for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks, Joe, as always.
All right. We'll talk about this next year.
Yeah.